ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 18, entitled Diti Vows to Kill King Indra. Text 74.
आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलास्मिताः आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलास्मिताः आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलास्मिताः। आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलाः स्मृताः। आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलाः। लेडीज, आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलाः स्मृताः। आराधनं भगवता इह माना निराशिषः ये तु नेच्छन्त्यपि परम् ते स्वार्थकुशलाः स्मृताः। आराधनम् द वर्शिप भगवतः ऑफ द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड हेड इह मानाः बीइंग इंटरेस्टेड इन निराशिषः विदाउट मटेरियल डिजायर्स ये दोज हु तू इंडीड न इच्छन्ति डू नॉट डिजायर अपि इवन परम लिबरेशन ते दे स्व अर्थ इन देयर ओन इंटरेस्ट कुशलाः
एक्सपर्ट
स्मिताः
आर कंसिडर्ड.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Although those who are interested only in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead do not desire anything material from the Lord and do not even want liberation, Lord Krishna fulfills all their desires. Purport. When Dhruv Maharaj saw Lord Vishnu, he declined to take any benedictions from him, for he was fully satisfied by seeing the Lord. Nonetheless, the Lord is so kind that because Dhruv Maharaj in the beginning had desired a kingdom greater than his father's, he was promoted to Dhruvaloka, the best planet in the universe. Therefore, in the Shastra it is said, Akamah sarvakamo va moksha kama udharadhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of material desires, free from material desires, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam 2.3.10. One should engage in full devotional service. Then, even though he has no desires, whatever desires he previously had can all be fulfilled simply by his worship of the Lord. The actual devotee does not desire even liberation. Anya bhilashita shunyam. The Lord, however, fulfills the desire of the devotee by awarding him opulence that will never be destroyed. A karmi's opulence is destroyed, but the opulence of a devotee is never destroyed. A devotee becomes more and more opulent as he increases his devotional service to the Lord. Om Ajnana Thimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Namaom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvisheshi Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarane Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripata Mahambande Shri Guru Dinatarnam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Such a beautiful purport Srila Prabhupada has given to this most beautiful verse. Therefore, this is called as Srimad Bhagavatam. Very beautiful Bhagavatam.
Śrīla Prabhupāda begins his purport by talking about the pastime of Śrīla Dhruva Mahārāja. That when Dhruva Mahārāja saw Lord Vishnu, he declined to take any benediction from him, for he was fully satisfied by seeing the Lord. This is the nature of the practice, of the process that we all have accepted, the path of devotional service. We all know the pastime of Dhruva Mahārāja, that he had his heart filled with material desires, a strong material desire, so much so that to fulfill that desire, he was ready to pay any price. Somehow these days we don't see even materialistic people having such strong material desires that they are ready to go to any extent to fulfill it. Very rarely we see that. People are very weak these days in anything. That is the nature of this age of Kali. But here Dhruva, just a 5-year-old boy, but having such a strong desire to get a kingdom greater than his father's, that he was ready to take the risk at that age to leave the shelter of his parents and enter into a forest which he knew is infested with wild animals. He couldn't have lasted even one day in that kind of environment. It was such a risky environment. But if that is what is required to fulfill my desire, so be it. That was the determination, the strength of the desire of Dhruva Mahārāja. Imagine, I mean, Bhagavatam generally talks about contrasting examples. Such a strong material desire to what we are seeing today in this purport, where now is the opportunity to get the fulfillment of the desire. He has achieved the Supreme Lord who is capable to give any benediction. Any benediction means anything the Lord can fulfill. Such a person is present in front of Dhruva Mahārāja. And as Prabhupada says, he declined to take any benedictions from him. At the very purpose for which you did all what you did, such intense tapasya, took the risk of leaving your home, going to the forest. And now the final exam time has come, you say, I don't want to give the question paper. I don't want to answer the question paper. Hare, then why you studied all these years? Such transformation. So the point that is being made here is to see the power of the process of bhakti when actually practiced. As Srila Prabhupada says, this is a scientific process. So it demands precision. We cannot just do anything we want to do, what we like to do, in the name of bhakti and expect the desired results. The key to success for Dhruva Mahārāja was not his determination. As we all know, it was the merciful advent of a pure devotee, in this case Srimad Narad Muni, who out of his causeless mercy, knowing very well what Dhruva wants, simply fulfillment of a material desire, but he gave such a process that Dhruva's heart would change.
And as we see here from the purport, after having that practiced that process for just 6 months, but with great intensity and focus, in just 6 months, a 5-year-old boy could achieve the perfection of his life. Why such examples are there in Srimad Bhagavatam? It's not that it can just happen in the bygone ages. These are just stories to be read, appreciated. No. It can happen with any one of us, provided we get the mercy of such acharya. We can't say, where are Narad Muni-like personalities present? We have our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, and His merciful representatives who are waiting to offer that mercy of the Lord. But now it depends on us. Do we have that adhikar, the prerequisite qualification to receive that oceanic mercy? If you go to an ocean with a spoon and tell him to fill it, spoon, the ocean can do that. But that's what all you'll get, a spoonful of water, although you approached an ocean. Kripa Sindhu Bhya Evacha. In the prayers we say, Vaishnava is like an ocean of mercy. Dhruv Maharaj had the adhikar to receive so much of mercy of Srimad Narad Muni that within 6 months he could achieve perfection of his life, which is incredible. And that also at that age. So this example really disproves that bhakti means a very, very long process. Yes, it can become a very long process, almost an everlasting process, if that's how we want it. But it can become such a quick path. Bhakti is a very fast process. It's actually not a very long process. Those material desires that we have accumulated over millions of lifetimes can be finished within just one life. Isn't that fast? And one life means what? First 15, 20 years we just spend in some crazy ignorance till the time we are aware of what's happening in the world. And the last 15, 20 years again in old age and the time when we cannot so enthusiastically practice. So we hardly have Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram, Shri Shri Adha, Shyam Sundar Bhagwan Ki Jai. So the little time that we have, the process is so powerful that it guarantees ultimate success. That's how powerful is this process. And we can, from all desires within our heart, reach to a position where we have no desires. As we all every day sing, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Korihaikya Arna Koriha Mane Asha. This is the requirement. If we really want to be free from all material desires, then we have to have only one desire. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitte Te Kariha Aikya. We have to engrave. Aikya means to engrave, like on a stone. Something is engraved. Like that, we have to engrave the words of one spiritual master within our stone-like heart right now, which is like stone. But when that stone is engraved with the words of the spiritual master, with what kind of focus? Arna kariha mane asha. Nothing else I will even desire to do, what to speak of doing. Then, as this verse also says, Sri Guru Charanirati. With that kind of meditation on fulfillment of the desire of the spiritual master, which is what leads to Charanirati, ऐसे उत्तम गति ये प्रसादे पूरे सर्व आशा.
As it says exactly in this verse, although the devotee approaches sometimes without any material desire, nevertheless, the Lord is so kind that He fulfills all the other desires, all the desires that the devotee ever had, even in the past. Now it's not really required to fulfill those desires because the devotee is detached from those desires. But nevertheless, Prabhupada says, Lord Krishna is so kind. See, my dear friend, my dear child, you had that desire. The devotee has forgotten that desire. But the Lord remembers it. And Prabhupada says, the Lord can fulfill those unfulfilled desires that the devotee had desired once upon a time. It is not necessary that the Lord will fulfill the desires. This is something very beautiful to appreciate. This is the Lord's. When we approach the Lord, we are here to worship Lord Krishna, we should know the nature of His personality. When you go to the Lord asking for something, but the Lord sees that you are very attached to having it, He will not fulfill it. He will wait for the time till you become detached from having the desire. And this He does out of His love for us. Because He knows if we get what we are attached to, what will we do with it? Try to enjoy at least. Which is our biggest enemy? Which is what is taking us away from Krishna? Away from real happiness? Is the tendency to enjoy that which is not ours. The Lord knows that very well. So He is not like that shopkeeper that you pay the right price and He will give you the commodity. The Lord plays the role where He will only give something which is beneficial to us. Even if we desire something unbeneficial or what to speak of harmful. Most of the times we end up asking for harmful things for us, thinking that it will give me happiness. As here in the case, Dhruv Maharaj is asking for a kingdom. But the Lord is so merciful. As it says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna ko hai aami bhaje maage vishay sukha amrit chhadi vishay mangi ehi buda murkh. My devotee is worshipping me, ami bhaje, but mange vishaya sukh, but still he is asking for material desires. Amrit chhadi, he is leaving the shelter of my lotus feet, but vishaya mangi, he is asking for vishaya. He doesn't know what he is asking for is poisonous for him. Ami vigya shei murkh vishaya kena diba. The Lord says, I am intelligent, but he may be murkh. Ami vigya ei murkh vishay kena diba. How can I give him fulfillment of his material desire? But I will give him something. Swacharna amrita diba vishay bhulaiba. I will give him something by which he will fulfill, he will forget the fulfillment of his desire. That is exactly what happened with Dhruva here. Now he no more. Rather he is saying that, Lord, I was asking for broken pieces of glasses. That means I was asking for something which was harmful for me. Playing with broken pieces of glass is not a good game to play. One will hurt oneself. So he could very well identify now that what actually I was asking for was to my own harm. But you are so merciful. You never gave me that desire, fulfillment of that desire. Rather, you sent Narad Muni for me, who did the needful, did that heart operation to remove those poisonous desires within my heart.
It's like a snake. If you remove the poison, then there's no harm of the snake. No problem with the snake. Problem is not with the snake, but the poison within the snake. Similarly, problem is not with the people of this world. Problem is with the material desires that are there in their heart. These poisonous material desires. So that's what Guru does. He enters our heart, provided we allow him to. And then he sucks those material desires, poisonous material desires. Just like Lord Shiva did, he drank that poison to save the demigods from the effect of that poison. So that's what Krishna does. He doesn't fulfill our material desires immediately. He waits. This is why sometimes people go to demigods. Demigods fulfill the material desire, even if the desire that we are asking for is harmful for us. Therefore it is said, even if your heart is filled with material desires, go to Krishna. It's in your benefit if you approach Krishna for it. For he is like a loving father, not like a shopkeeper. So this is the beauty in approaching the Lord. But we have to be prepared. We have so many desires, so many problems that we are going through in our lives. And we approach the Lord every day, requesting him to remove those problems from our life, to purify our heart. And sometimes people say, why it's taking so much time? Last 20 years I've been praying to the Lord to purify the anarthas from my heart, and I can see those anarthas still there. Why isn't the Lord purifying my heart? We doubt Krishna's timings. Or sometimes we doubt even Krishna is hearing me or not. When the prayer has been going on for a long time. It is said that you cannot offer a prayer that Krishna doesn't hear. Krishna hears every prayer of our heart. Even the prayer has not been officially announced as prayer. It's just expressed as a desire. Krishna keeps a note of it. And at the right time, he may fulfill it. Some time back, a brahmachari was telling me, he's sufficiently old, he's been there in the movement for a couple of years. She was telling me that when I was a boy going to college, I had a long train journey that I had to go through from my native place to the college that I studied in. Every 2-3 months I used to go to meet my parents and I used to come back to my college. And he said, in those youthful days, I always desired that when I'd get a train ticket, it should be next to some beautiful woman. And he said, every time before boarding the train, I used to check in the list outside in the train, who are the people sitting next to me? Next to M20 or whatever, is there any F15, F20, F30 or something like that? He said, I used to always, before boarding the train, check. This is the first thing I used to check. And this was his meditation for years. I said, then by Krishna some arrangement, I happened to be in this situation where I am a brahmachari now. He's a preacher. So now I forgot that I ever desired like that. Till I realized some months back, every time I travel in a train, almost every time there's some beautiful woman sitting next to me. And it clicked me that, oh, the Lord remembered that desire. And just see, now I don't want. And many times he said I have to go to the extent of changing my seat with somebody else who doesn't mind happily changing the seat with mine. But sometimes he says, why the Lord didn't fulfill it earlier? I said, that's because you wouldn't have been what you are today. Had the Lord fulfilled it earlier, he had a plan from you. And therefore the Lord arranged the whole thing in such a way. This is just a small thing, but I'm sure each one of us must be having some experiences of some old time desires that we had in our heart once upon a time. And sometimes you can correlate with what's happening in your life, especially something is repeatedly happening, with some desire that we sustainably offered in our ignorance at that point of time, which the Lord is now fulfilling. Of course, it's not that every desire the Lord fulfills. Therefore, Prabhupada uses the word, He can fulfill those desires that you once upon a time had. But this is the Lord's exclusive mercy upon us, that He doesn't give us what we are attached to. That's what we see even in case of devotees. Sometimes devotees are very strong about wanting a particular service. I want to do this service. Actually, it's not even according to the Ayurveda principle. If you're attached to eating something, means that's poison for you. If you're attached to sweets, dangerous for you. Krishna has made the system like this. Sometimes we say, it's service after all, what I'm asking for. Anything if you are attached to on a material plane, that is dangerous for us. Because that attachment is what takes us away from Krishna. So Krishna is very merciful through some representatives of His. He doesn't arrange for us to get that desire fulfilled. And sometimes, just to teach us the lesson, He arranges to fulfill that desire. That material desire that we had, which we didn't see as material, we just wanted that service. But the fulfillment of the desire leads to so many problems. I've had enough number of devotees expressing this to me. With the desire to do a particular service, strongly attached to it, not realizing whether it's good for me or not, got into that service, and then they somehow they deviated from the path of bhakti to such an extent. I know some devotees even left our movement in the name of trying to fulfill that service. But they realized it when they lost their heart to be in the movement because of their attachment to fulfilling that service. Therefore, attachment is only at one place. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. That is the safe attachment. And that is what was the key to success of Srila Prabhupada, to what he did. Often he himself expressed like that. When he was asked, Swamiji, what is the key to your success? You just came with 40 rupees in your pocket, and today you have such big institution. Srila Prabhupada often used to humbly say, my credit is that I agreed to be used by my spiritual master. So yes, wanting something even apparently material is not completely wrong as long as we are agreeing to go by Krishna's arrangement, Krishna's plan for the fulfillment of the desire. Let's say somebody has a desire to earn a lot of money and serve Krishna through that. Nothing wrong with it as such. Provided you are detached to having that desire fulfilled the way Lord wants it to be fulfilled. One Srila Prabhupada said that if you all are qualified, Krishna can give you the whole America. But do you have the adhikar to use it in Krishna's service? Now in this case of Dhruva Maharaj, we see Krishna felt he is qualified to use that as the spiritual world or the spiritual kingdom in the material world. Dhruva Loka. Krishna prepared a special loka for Dhruva just to fulfill that one desire of a 5-year-old child. Krishna doesn't take anything cheaply, anything for granted. Just a 5-year-old child is desiring something, theek hai, forget it. What's the big deal? He'll forget after some time himself. Krishna didn't take it like that. Seeing the intensity of the desire of Dhruva. And when Krishna felt that now he can use it properly in my service, take it. He gave you much more than Dhruva could have desired. Like, I won't get into the detail of the pastime, but the pastime of Sridhar Kolavich, who was called at the Mahaprakash Leela by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya was giving unlimited benedictions to anybody who came on that day, at that time. And then he called for Sridhar. He was not even wanting to come to ask for anything. It was Lord who asked, sent some of his servants to call for Sridhar Kolavich. And Lord asked him, Sridhar, ask for something. Today I want to give you. If you want, I can give you the whole planet, the wealth of the whole planet, the whole universe. Ask something, Sridhar. It was very embarrassing for Sridhar Kolavich to ask for something like that, the way Lord was, the kind of things Lord was talking about. And eventually he said, if you so desire, my dear Lord, to give me something, please give me that opportunity to bargain with that Nimai, to come every day at my shop where I sell banana leaves. He should come and bargain for those banana leaves. Let that Lord Nimai come to me every day. Even when Prahlad was asked by Lord Narsingdev for some desire, something, ask something, Prahlad felt very embarrassed. He said, I'm not a businessman. I didn't do a deal with you that if you do this for me, I'll do this for you, you'll do something for me. So devotees actually, as they grow in their bhakti, they are practically desireless. I'm just eager to serve the way Krishna wants to use me in his service. Even they give up the desire to go back to the spiritual world, because they are happy serving where the Lord wants them to serve. If Lord wants me to go and serve him in the spiritual world, so be it. Lord wants me to serve in this material world, so be it. They are just eager to serve. But the Lord loves such malleability. It is mentioned in the Bhagavatam. One of the reasons Pandavas were so dear to the Lord is because of their malleability, Prabhupada writes in the purport. Their malleability. Agreeing to be used by the Lord the way Lord desires. This is the biggest thing. This is what surrender actually is. Ar na kariha mane asha. I don't want to have my own independent desires. Desires of the Lord and His pure devotees are very powerful. If you want to do something big or great, rather than simply desiring to do something great, it is better to connect that desire with some desire of some acharya. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur desired that some Senapati Bhakta should come who will practically unite the whole world. I'm just putting in my words. And a day will come when people from all around the world will come together and chant the names of Gaur Hari. That desire. In 1896, and that was the very year Lord Krishna fulfilled that desire at the seed level by sending Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada kept his desires aligned with the desire of his spiritual master, knowing very well that's what will lead to success, if at all. Because Tumar Ichha Balavan, it's Lord and His pure devotees' desire which is powerful. The material energy can change its course simply by the power of a desire of a Vaishnava. So all that we have to do is connect our desires, align our desires with the desire of our acharyas. And that's it. And Krishna will use us as an instrument to the fulfillment of that desire of that Vaishnava. Satyam vidhatum nijabhritya bhashitam. Lord Narsingdev came just to fulfill the desire of Prahlad. Because Prahlad said, yes, Lord is in this pillar. That's how much Lord values the words of his devotees. really amazing. The more we think about the Lord's love for His devotees, the more our heart melts. What kind of Lord is this? What kind of devotees are these? They don't want to desire anything separate from desire of the Lord. And the Lord is ready to fulfill any desire of His devotee. Whatever the devotee desires, as if the devotee will desire something different from Him. But even if it is different, even if, the Lord is ready to fulfill that desire. That's the freedom the Lord gives to His devotees. If you want to give mercy to someone, whether he's qualified or not, so be it. Therefore, if there are sides, Krishna and devotees, it's safer to take side of devotees. But Krishna can break His promise. If we take Krishna's side, there's a chance we may lose. But if we take devotees' side, sure to win. We are sure to win. Because Krishna will make sure that His devotees will win. Even if that means Himself losing. Even if that means. This is the beauty of the relationship that the Lord feels for His devotees. That's what it means to be a devotee. And that's what we see in this whole section that is going on. The section is going on where Diti had a strong desire to kill Indra. Such a strong, dangerous material desire. And Indra, on the other hand, was there to harm Diti and her children. Her child, that time, one child. And he entered the womb of Diti to kill that child. Such negativity is in both their hearts. But just because of the path of bhakti given to Diti by her husband, and she with faith follows the words of her husband, not only she got purified, but even Indra, who happened to be in her womb at that time, got influenced by the purity of the practice of Diti. I mean, this verse is basically expressing and explaining, rather proclaiming, the power of the process of bhakti. It is easy to change the external dress, our lifestyle, our words. It is very difficult to change the quality of desires. It is very difficult to change our attitudes. But bhakti goes to that level. It can change the personality completely outside and within. But it has to be practiced scientifically. We can't just connect to anything or just try to do anything in the name of doing it for the Lord. It has to be in line with the desire of our parampara. If it is outside that, however skillful, in any way powerful one may be. Therefore, again, to exemplify such things, Lord uses examples like Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, who were such powerful people in their own ways. Hiranyakashipu was like superman. He had the power to change even the seasons, the rule that anybody who commits a sin goes to hell. He said, now who will commit sin will go to heaven, and those who will do pious activities will go to hell. He could change that system. All demigods used to be fearful of him. Simply by the raising of his eyebrow, he could create fear in the hearts of demigods. What power, what control. Who can be more powerful in terms of material powers than Hiranyakashipu? But a 5-year-old child again. See, Lord uses such contrasting things just to glorify the path of bhakti. He could have put an equally powerful man to come and fight with Hiranyakashipu. Lord said, just my little devotee. And here on contrast is a powerful demon. Never in the history of mankind has somebody seen as powerful a demon as Hiranyakashipu. For him, my little devotee is enough to do the needful. That's how powerful it is to be a devotee of the Lord. It's the most powerful position in the entire material and spiritual creations. to be a bhakta. That's how much the Lord values that position of being a devotee. And that access, that position's access, is so freely offered to us by our founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada. Actual bhakti is very difficult to get. Sudurlabha, very, very difficult to achieve. There may be a lot of things going on in the world in the name of bhakti, which looks like bhakti. But our acharyas in the parampara are those members who have risked everything to preserve the purity and the actual message of the parampara, which if we access, we can get this powerful position that we are talking about all over the scriptures, all over Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. How powerful our devotee is. What it means to be a devotee. We just take it too cheaply, we chant 16 rounds, follow negative principles, I am a devotee of Krishna. Where is the transformation of the quality of desires? What kind of desires we can check for ourselves do we possess within our heart? Diti, the very person who was his enemy, here is she's her heart, her feeling towards that person has changed. It's not just the word, she's just manipulating it externally. She actually feels Indra as her son. Very lovingly, a heart filled with hatred has been converted into a heart filled with love. Just see how powerful is this path. So we all have to judge for ourselves based on the quality of our own desires. Especially when somebody speaks not so sweet words to us or deals with us in a very unpleasant way. What is our internal response to that situation? We also become revengeful. We also feel, "Acha, this is what you'll do, see, now what I'll do." We are yet to become a bhakta. Bhakta means markheya premdeya. However much you may try to harm a devotee, all you'll end up getting is love from that devotee. Simply by that meditation of wanting to harm the devotee, you're thinking of the devotee somehow, that goes in your credit. So this path is very, very powerful. But the problem is sometimes because something is powerful is given so easily, we don't value it as seriously. It's like pearls given to swines, or in Vrindavan we say if you give a diamond to a monkey, what will the monkey do with that diamond? Try to bite it. If he can't get any juice out of it, he'll just throw it away. Look for something else to eat. Sometimes that's how we take bhakti. The bhaktas around us, each devotee who's with us, the fact that he or she has come to the movement of Srila Prabhupada, he has come till here, some appreciation towards Srila Prabhupada, one is glorious. Bahunam, Janmanam, Ante. He may not have come to the level of Prapadyate yet, but at least he has come at the right place. If somebody has come here to these temples of Srila Prabhupada, he is not an ordinary soul. But provided we have that vision to see things in that way, then we can deal with that personality in such a way that after coming once here, one will not never want to leave. That's what spiritual world is. Yad gatva nandivartante. Once we come to the shelter of a devotee of the Lord, if we actually experience shelter, we can never ever leave it. And somebody is leaving it, means he never tasted it. Surely, not even a drop of it has been tasted. The fact that one can think of leaving that shelter, forget about actually leaving it. One cannot dream. That's how wonderful it is. I don't have good words to explain the sweetness and the the juice of being in the path of bhakti, actually practicing bhakti. Prabhupada says, Dhruva was fully satisfied. Full satisfaction means what? The biggest material allurement will be nothing for such a person because he's so self-satisfied practicing the path. That's what one experiences when one feels sheltered. It is one thing to come to the movement, but it's a totally another thing to experience shelter. Nobody can do anything to such a person who's feeling sheltered in the heart. No material desire, no external obstacles can touch such a person. He becomes powerful, a threat to the material energy. So we are so fortunate that we have been given access to this path so mercifully, so freely, and so easily by Srila Prabhupada. What struggles he went through to give us this path. So now it's our time to deeply appreciate what actually we have received, what has been offered, I would say. Maybe we have received, or how much we have received, we don't know. At least it's been offered by Srila Prabhupada. We shouldn't just appreciate the external beauty of the temple and the deities, and there's a lot more that Srila Prabhupada has hidden within these literatures. He has hidden his loving heart. But it's hidden. Simply by a study of it in an academic way will not give us access to what's hidden. Because they are jewels. You don't keep jewels on the streets. Keep them in a safe. For that you need a key to access them. So access, again, that key is Guru Mukha Padma Vakya. Chitte the kari aai kya ar na kari ha mane aasha. This one statement we have applied in our life. We will experience that shelter that Dhruva was experiencing here, due to which he was so satisfied that even the Lord came in front of him. He doesn't want anything from that Lord. All he wants is to serve that Lord. And if to serve you, I need to take the kingdom, fine, I will take it. Thank you all so very much for giving such a patient hearing for such a long time. It's already beyond time. I don't know whether it's right on my part to take any questions or comments. But I feel it's better to end because we have some program today, few minutes from now. Thank you all so very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki
jai.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Gaur Bhaktavinda ki jai. Nithai Gaur Premanande.